supporting Prostate Cancer UK. This is the Music Marathon with Steve Lord.
Starting our unique show, this is Emerson, Lake and Palmer's version of Fanfare for the Common Man. Fanfare, as we trumpet the need for all common men to think more about their body part, the prostate. Men, after considerable use during its lifetime, things can go wrong in our later life, with up to 1 in 4 black men and up to 1 in 8 white men affected by prostate cancer. So I'm really pleased to have been given the opportunity to grab a considerable chunk of airtime to promote what we, the common man, need to be aware of. And ladies, I want you to encourage your man to be aware as well. So let's celebrate the healing medium of music, where you choose the songs over 12 hours and raise some money for Prostate Cancer UK as the D Radio group comes together on Cheshire's Silk Radio and Cheshire's D Radio across northwest of England and North Wales on DAB, FM and online for the 12-hour Music Marathon.
The Music Marathon, supporting Prostate Cancer UK.
Elton John and Kiki D, Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Number one there from the summer of 1976. And I'm very pleased to say that we have one half of the duo who sang on that song. Welcome to the Music Marathon. It's the one and only Kiki D. Hello, Kiki.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Kiki. Really appreciate it. I know we've spoken in the past as well, but it's been a couple of years now since the last time we spoke, and it's really, really great to hear you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, you've always been such a support to my music partner and I. And, you know, so it's lovely that I can do something for you.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Well, you're currently touring, and we'll talk a bit more about that a bit later. But
sure.
I want to take you back to that famous song. I bet you get sick of it talking about it all the time. But tell us how Elton and yourself came to record that song.
Well, you know, it's funny. I say to the audience, I've just come back from Sunderland, where we played last night, and about 4 years ago, I worked actually briefly with Robert Plant, who was starting a new band called Saving Grace. And he asked Carmelo and I, we thought, he said, will you support me for this warm-up gig, because we haven't got enough material yet to do a whole show. And actually, he wanted to support us. So I had actually had Robert Plant support me in the last 4 years. But he said to me that night, ah, yes, he said, don't go breaking my heart. He said, that's your stairway to heaven.
And how did Elton sort of tell you to, I believe you actually recorded the songs, didn't you, separately, your pieces?
Yeah, well, actually, what happened was Elton's producer, Gus Dudgeon, who I've worked with as well at the time, this is the early, mid-70s, they were doing the track, Bernie and Elton had written the song, and it was going to be just a track for Elton to sing, and then Gus had the idea that it should be a duet, so he sent me over a version of it from America with him singing his voice, and then singing mine in a fun little high voice, which I wish I had a copy of, just so I knew which bits to sing, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you actually reunited with Elton to perform the song, weren't you, at the Dodgers Stadium in November 22, his last US performance. How was that experience of performing in front of 55,000 fans?
It was lovely, because, I mean, I did it loads in the 70s, supporting Elton John with my band at the time. And it just felt like it sort of rounded things out for me. You know, I haven't been to LA for a long time. I lived there quite a bit in the 70s. And you know what? It's nice to be on the A-list, because when you're in Los Angeles, you want to be on the A-list. You know, you want to be associated with Elton, because that's what people are interested in, you know. We had sort of a glamorous time, and the audience were absolutely thrilled that I was there, because I haven't been there for years. And, it was just a lot of fun, really.
Yeah, and you weren't nervous at all?
Say that again?
You weren't nervous at all?
Not really. I mean, I'll be really honest with you. Elton took the key down a few years ago, quite a way. And I was kind of worried it might be a bit too low. I might be singing in my boots. But that was the only thing, really, that I was worried about. It's funny, isn't it? I can get more nervous about playing in a small room, you know, 250 people, where you have that intimate connection, which, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love it. But that can be more, make you more nervous than actually performing in a big stadium where you're just throwing out your performance.
Really,
you know?
Really, yeah. Well, we'll have a chat about your performances, what you do now with your musical partner, Carmelo, a bit later on. But over 60 years in the music industry now, when you started as a teenager recording songs with the great Dusty Springfield back in the 1960s, that's a long time ago, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think I'm still doing it, really, but it keeps you young, this business, you know. You have to keep yourself fairly strong, and I have to keep singing. But yeah, I got a record deal very young by a fluke thing, really. A sales rep from a record company heard me singing in Leeds with a dance band, Leeds in Yorkshire. I'm from Bradford, actually. And I got an audition and passed it, and they put me onto a personal manager, which everybody had in those days. You would have to have a manager. And 2 weeks after he signed me, he signed Dusty. So I got to sing on some of her early records. A beautiful track. I don't know if any of your listeners remember Some of Your Loving, the Carole King song. She did a wonderful vocal on it, and I got to sing some of the backing vocals, which was fantastic.
Great. And then you were the first female to record an album with Motown, first white female, British white female, weren't you, back in 1970 as well? That must have been an experience, mustn't it, really?
Again, you know, if I ever wrote the book, I've got such a rubbish memory, I haven't written it yet. But it would be probably called Two Phone Calls, because the first phone call was getting the first record deal with Phillips Fontana, and the second phone call was from Detroit, because I thought it was a wind-up, but someone had heard me singing. And they were expanding out into, they had a label called Rare Earth, and they had a lot of white bands on it, you know, and they were trying different things, Motown, at the time. And I got to go out there for 12 weeks, recorded in the original studio, which is now the Motown Museum, and worked with a lot of the original musicians, and it was this amazing experience, as you can imagine.
And then you, in the early 70s, you kind of worked for Elton John's Rocket record label, of course, and you had several hits there.
It's his birthday tomorrow.
Tomorrow is it? Oh, right, okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, because he's 3 weeks younger than me. we met when he was starting Rocket Records through a mutual friend, and he said, would you like to come in and, you know, meet us and have a chat about doing some stuff for us? And we've always connected, you know, somehow. And, you know, that's how we really got together, you know, in those early days.
Fantastic. And you still stay in touch now, don't you, on a regular basis, I believe? Yeah, which is
Yeah,
nice.
I mean, he lives a very different lifestyle. I live a kind of normal lifestyle, if you like. And Elton lives in this other world, doesn't he? But, you know, it's kept my name out there, and it's given me that platform. Although my music's very different now, you know, I've moved on, and my show's very eclectic.
Yeah,
but you know, he'll always have a place in my heart.
Yeah, let's play one of those hits now. I've Got the Music in Me, and then come back and talk a bit more for you about that after we've done that. A big hit in 1974, and we'll come back and talk to you after this song for you in a few moments' time, Kiki.
Okay.
Take it.
a big hit in 1974, number 19 in the UK chart, staying for 8 weeks in the chart, and also number 12 in the US Billboard charts as well. Kiki D and the band, and I've got the music in me, and we have got Kiki D live on the line here on the Music Marathon. And you were saying to me off air, Kiki, that's one of the songs that you now sing in the same key still.
Yeah, I mean, God, I'm exhausted listening to that. I'm so young and exuberant. It's a little bit more bluesy now, although it's the same tempo. But, it, you know, it's such a great live song. That's why I think so many people did it in the 70s. And also, you know, I was touring in America with Elton at the time, doing a 45-minute set before he came on in the stadium. So you can imagine a lot of people heard that song, and I think that's why we charted in America. So, yeah, it was brilliant.
Fantastic. Now, for many years, you've been working together with your musical partner, Carmelo Leggeri, making new music together and also touring on a regular basis. You just got home from being in Sunderland yesterday. How's the current tour going?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even call it a tour anymore, Steve, because we just gig when we gig, you know.
Yeah.
But we did Northern Ireland recently, and we all over the UK, basically, we've been, you know. And I'm enjoying it because I think I'm match fit at the moment. You know, when you're doing something a lot, you become, you know, my voice is quite strong and all that stuff. And there's just the two of us on stage, so we make quite a noise. You know, it's quite a, what I'd say, an eclectic show. You know, it goes from pin drop quiet to rocking out our music in me. So I'm really enjoying it, you know, and the audiences have been fantastic, so you can't ask for more.
Yeah, I mean, the venues you choose are very intimate, aren't they, really? And
yeah.
I like one of the touches that you do during the show. I'm not sure we still do it, but you go out to one of the members of the audience and you actually dance to that member of the audience doing a slowie when Carmelo is doing one of his solo wear pieces. I love that.
Yeah, you know what? I did that most nights. It's a Leonard Cohen song called Dance Me to the End of Love. And when COVID came along, I couldn't do it anymore, of course.
Of course not, no, yeah.
But the first time I ever did it, I felt a little bit disconnected from the audience. And I just spontaneously got out, you know, climbed down somehow from the stage, got someone up to dance in the middle, and Carmelo wondered where I'd gone. You know, he's on stage playing. But yeah, no, it's a fun thing to do, and it also kind of connects with people, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you've been in the Northwest touring in the past couple of years. Any plans to come back to Cheshire and the Northwest in the future?
Well, I'm hoping so, because we've always had a good response there. You know, maybe next year. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to do this now, but as long as I feel well enough and strong enough and my voice is up, you know, I'll keep going. So hopefully we'll get back to your neck of the woods and maybe I'll pop in and see you.
Yeah, we'd love to do that, arrange that sometime in the future. Have you got a website or, you know, that people can go along and have a look at your music, where they can purchase your music?
Sure.
And also, yeah?
We've got info@kikiandcarmelo.com.
KikiandCarmelo.com, very easy to search from that point of view.
Yeah.
And you can buy tickets for the shows on there as well, can't you, I believe?
You can be directed to, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's nice about my life now is, you know, from being 16 years old, I was chasing, you know, chasing success, if you like, chasing everything. And I just got to the point 30 years ago when I met Carmelo that I just wanted to do the music I wanted to do and not have the kind of star system over my head, if that makes sense. You know, that suits my personality much more, just to be more real, you know.
Yeah. Listen, thank you for coming on the programme tonight talking about Prostate Cancer UK. I mean, for many people that don't know, of course, obviously you were touched personally by cancer, weren't you, some time ago as well?
Yeah, 35 years ago, yeah, I did. And so it galvanised me and made me decide, you know, I'm going to do, this is, you know, it just makes you really think about what your life's about. And I'm very grateful, and I know you are too, and it's nice to be part of this, you know, this show that you're doing tonight.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's been a real privilege to have you on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And it's been great to chat again. It's been a number of years, but it's lovely to chat to you. And we'll definitely come and see one of your shows this year and look forward to that sometime this year from that point of view. We're going to finish off.
Good luck for tonight. I hope you stay
thank
awake
you.
Okay.
If you want to give me a call about 3 o'clock in the morning, Kiki, you're welcome to do so.
I think I might be in the land of Nod by then, actually.
Let's finish our chat with another hit from 1981. This spent 10 weeks on the chart, peaking at number 13, taken from the album Perfect Timing, and it's a star.
Yeah, it's the one song, actually, that we don't do in the show, but it's a great pop record. I mean, you know, I'm proud of the record, and all the backing vocals I did were very kind of high, you know.
Yeah, very high vocals, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think of it fondly, you know. I'm friends with the producer, Pitt Williams, to this day. But yeah, it is the one song I don't do live, but it is, I think it's a strong track.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for coming to the program once again. Really appreciate it, Kiki. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Rock and roll are the games you play. I fly or see your name in lights. Temporarily social suicide. Oh, don't you tell me it's rough. At the top you get the cream of the crop. Image seekers, they're unreal to win. This week break, well next week, who knows. Oh, don't you tell me it's rough. Oh, don't you tell me it's tough. Number 13 in the charts in 1981 there, Kiki D and Star, and she certainly is. Thank you once again, Kiki, for coming on the programme. Really, really appreciate it, and thank you for your support as well.
The Music Marathon, supporting Prostate Cancer UK.
So time now on our Music Marathon to take a break from the music and speak to Seven Evans, who is Head of Events and Community Fundraising for Prostate Cancer UK. Hello, Seven, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Steve. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, it's our pleasure, and great to have you on from the charity. So perhaps we can start by you telling us about the three main cancer risks and how to learn from those risks.
So prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men, and unfortunately it affects 1 in 8 men in the UK. And really sadly, that 12,000 men die from this disease every year. So it is so important that men understand the risk of getting the disease. So there are three risk audiences. So we've got men over 50, black men, and those with a family history of prostate cancer. So it is really, really important that, you know, any of the listeners today are identifying themselves in one of these risk audiences, then go to our website and search Risk Checker. And there's a 30-second online survey that will provide you with a little bit more information about you and your risk.
Let's take a look now at some of the key stats that are around prostate cancer, especially here in the northwest of England.
Yes, there's a shocking north-south divide in the UK when it comes to prostate cancer. And it was back last year, in 2023, we released some data showing that in the northwest, one in six men with prostate cancer were being diagnosed too late for a cure. And that is compared to one in eight in London. So a message to your listeners in the Northwest that it is really important to be aware of your risk and catch prostate cancer early enough so it isn't too late.
The Music Marathon, supporting Prostate Cancer UK. Britain's biggest silent killer of men. But catch it early and you can live with it or even be cured of it. Speak to your doctor now or contact the specialist nurses in confidence at Prostate Cancer UK. Text NURSE to 70004. Call 0800 074 8383 or visit prostatecanceruk.org.
And on the Music Marathon, courtesy of Alexander's Live in Chester, we were joined by local musicians. And Cheshire musician Finn Mitchell joined me in the studio.
The Music Marathon, supporting Prostate Cancer UK.
Well, we're going to hear one of your original songs that you've written for us to finish off. And what's this one called?
So this is a song that I wrote while I was in Greece on holiday with some friends. And it's called Drowning.
Take some time away to be alone sometimes. In those quiet spaces, dark places unfold inside my mind. 'Cause these waters are getting rough. Are you ready to ride a riptide? 'Cause if it takes me down, I may never come back up. I don't know how to say goodbye, and I couldn't bear your love if it's on borrowed time. I need to bring myself back up for air. I could wrap myself inside your flames, or clear the air from all these hazy days. Now the tide is turning, sun on my horizon's burning. Not sure that I can stay, 'cause these waters are getting rough. Are you ready to ride a riptide? 'Cause if it takes me down, I may never come back up. Oh, I don't know how to say goodbye, and I couldn't bear your love if it's on borrowed time. I need to bring myself. Getting rough. Are you ready to ride a riptide? Hey, I don't know how to say goodbye, and I couldn't bear your love if it's on borrowed time. I need to bring myself back up for air. Drowning. zip tie.
Fantastic. Lovely. Fern, that's an original song. That's really nice. I like that. Really good. And it kind of catchy as well, so you're kind of getting into it quite quickly. So, yeah. How long did it take you to compose that song then?
Thank you very much, first of all, Steve. It's great feedback. It's always good to know what you think works and what doesn't, because we're making it up as we go along, aren't we, every time something comes to mind. I think it took maybe a couple of days on the first verse and chorus whilst I was out on Greece, but I think the rest of it kind of fell together as a first draft reasonably quickly after that. But it was during the lockdown period, a couple of years after I'd originally written it, when I sat down with Tom, living together during lockdown, trying to find things to do. And he sat down and helped me out with some bits in the song that I was like, they're not quite finished, they don't quite feel right, can you see what you think? And actually it was the entire upbeat rhythm that kind of came to this song that Tom contributed, as well as a few lyrics, because originally it was a much more melancholy song, and some people had described it as quite haunting in sound, in a complimentary way, but yeah. It's really taken a lift, so two heads are always better than one, I think.
And thank you once again for coming on. They can find you, can you, on social media?
They can indeed. So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook under Fern Mitchell Music, F-E-R-N, just like the plant.
Supporting Prostate Cancer UK, this is the Music Marathon with Steve Lord.
And we are back with Sarah Evans from Prostate Cancer UK. Now, Prostate Cancer UK, of course, is a charity, and with lots of income raised through events done by everybody. Perhaps you can tell us why it's so important for those fundraising events.
Well, it's because of fundraising and great people like yourself, Steve, that are raising valuable funds and awareness, of course, but it's really important that we fundraise so we can invest this into breakthrough tests.
Let's have a chat about the research Prostate Cancer UK is currently doing, and tell us all about the proposed £42 million Transform trial.
So 12,000 men die of prostate cancer each year, and it is the most common cancer, and yet it doesn't have a national screening programme. So unlike breast cancer and bowel cancer, where there is a screening programme, currently the best test we have is the PSA test. And that isn't always necessarily reliable. So we are embarking on a trial called Transform, which hopefully will give us the answers that we need. So this is biggest and most ambitious trial that Prostate Cancer UK has ever commissioned. And that is with the help of the government, who will be funding £16 million. But ultimately, it will cost £42 million overall. But essentially, it will give us the answers that we need. And fingers crossed, this will be a success, and we can then develop a routine testing system and save many lives in the future.
What support from Prostate Cancer UK is available for those affected by prostate cancer?
We have a specialist nurses service that people can use either by telephone, email, live chat, and instant messaging service, that is. The nurses are there to provide information and support for individuals who are going through diagnosis, but also their family and friends. The support is there to better understand the diagnosis and to answer any questions that might feel overwhelming at any point during the diagnosis journey. If any of the statistics that you've heard today resonates with you, then please do go and look at our website, prostatecanceruk.org. Do take the risk checker and do look at our website for more information at prostatecanceruk.org.
The Music Marathon, supporting Prostate Cancer UK.
Time now on the Music Request Marathon to have another guest, and it's Cheshire Sports radio journalist, writer and poet, Charlie Lambert. And I firstly asked him, did he start at the Liverpool Echo before moving into radio?
Well, almost. I started in weekly papers like most journalists did in those days. I started in 1971. I was a trainee with the Southport Visitor Group. And the great thing about that was that as part of the group, they owned the Bootle Times. And the Bootle Times had got press passes for Anfield and Goodison Park. So you can imagine that I was pretty quick off the mark as soon as a vacancy came up on the Brutal Times to get in there. I found myself being put in charge of the sports pages. That meant that I could get my hands on those press passes. And so at quite a young age, really, and certainly a very early stage in my journalistic career, I was able to go to Goodison and Anfield and mix with all the big boys in the press box.
Moving on, you went into local radio for Merseyside, and then, of course, moving on to Five Live on national radio.
I began working for Five Live in the mid-1980s. I had a permanent spell there, and then I went back to local radio. But I continued working for Five Live on a regular basis, as well as working for local radio and as well as working for regional television for the best part of 25 years. So, I mean, that was just brilliant. That was another ambition achieved, without a doubt.
And out of the all that time, of course, with Five Live, was there, I mean, football you were doing mainly, was there any particular game that you think of, I was so pleased to be at that event to see that happen?
Yes, I mean, there are quite a few spring to mind, but the one I'll mention was quite early in my time with Five Live, when Manchester City, hard to believe now, but they were then in what was then called Division 2.
Mm.
Last game of the season, they're at home to Charlton Athletic. If they win, they go up into the First Division, which is now the Premiership. Commentator was Peter Jones, who was an absolutely superb commentator. He could give every occasion a wonderful sense of an event taking place. He had a great voice, and he was a lovely guy as well. The expert pundit summariser was Dennis Law, and I was the producer. Now, Peter lived down south, somewhere in Buckinghamshire, and he was very professional. He'd always travelled to a game overnight if it was far from home, but on this occasion he didn't. And I think it was because his mother was ill. So he travelled on the day. He was held up, didn't make it on time. So when the game kicked off, I had to do the commentary. Peter arrived at half time. He said, "Carry on for the first 10 or 15 minutes while I get the bearings," which I did. And by the time I handed over to him, City were winning 5-0, and the game was all over. Promotion was sealed, and I'd had the great privilege of describing all those goals.
He was a great commentator, wasn't he, Peter Jones? Fantastic. You've also as well done commentary as well for on the Manx TT, haven't you, as well, over your years?
I have. That was after I left the Beeb and went freelance, and I worked for Manx Radio for 9 years, covered nearly 200 races, and that was an experience. I don't think there's another sporting event to match it in terms of the commitment and the drama and the versatility that you have, because, you know, I was leading a group of commentators. It's, you know, 37 and three-quarter mile circuit, so you don't see the whole circuit in front of you. It's not like covering a football match where anything that takes place, you see it. There was a lot of filling for time. There was great drama to describe, but also there were some awful moments, because it's a very, very dangerous course. Mm. Riders do lose their life. You know, how do you describe that and then pick yourself up and carry on? It is a real, real challenge. And also, some of the days, they can go on for, I know you're doing a marathon, and you know, I'm not talking 12 hours at the TT, but certainly we could start at 9:30 in the morning and not finish till 6 o'clock at night.
So in your retirement, you've been kept busy. You're obviously still doing a bit of broadcasting here and there. And also, as well, you'd be busy writing and also doing poetry as well.
Well, poetry is something which I just started to scribble and have a go at doing some things after I retired. I had a bit of time on my hand, and I just found that I liked writing. I like words. I like working with words. I like working with the language. And I've had a few poems published. Maybe, if you'd be kind enough, Steve, I could just read a very short one that I wrote, which might resonate with people who maybe they might be suffering from prostate cancer, although it wasn't written about prostate cancer. Quite a short one, this.
Sure.
It's called A Night at the End of the Year. And this is how it goes. Rain spits icily in the yard outside. The clock clicks loudly in this wee small hour. Anxiety chatters ear to ear inside my head, and silent sirens raise the terror level to high and higher still, until the purring of my cat ripples comfort through the dark.
Yeah, that's really thought-provoking, isn't it? It really is, yeah. Thank you for that.
I think a lot of people, you know, my age, mid-70s now, whether they have prostate cancer or whether they don't, they find that they're up and they're awake in the night. You get up and you wonder what to do with yourself, and your imagination starts playing tricks. And I find I've written quite a few poems about that, you know, that experience of trying to cope with whatever it is that wakes you up, and you just feel a bit lonesome in the middle of the night. And it's something that, you know, we have to get on with.
You've also written children's books, haven't you, as well? Or
I've written one. It's called The Adventures of Monkey and Riggy. That was inspired by my granddaughters. Monkey and Riggy were their, and still are, their cuddly toys. One monkey is, surprisingly enough, a monkey. Riggy is an octopus. And I set the stories on the Isle of Man, and it's all about the adventures that they got up to there. That came out a few years ago. Mm. That was, you know, good fun.
Mm.
It's lovely for the granddaughters to know that their cuddly toys had these great adventures.
Let's have a chat about prostate cancer now. And what's your connection to that, and one of the reasons for wanting to come on the show and talk about it?
Yeah, well, I think it's a fantastic thing that you're doing, Steve. And you know, congratulations and
thank
all
you.
Credit to you. My father had prostate cancer, so that is how it's touched my family. I don't want to say too much about how it affected him individually, except to say that the last few years of his life were made a lot more difficult than they needed to have been. And I do think it's important that us fellas go and get checked. And I think the one message I would like to get across to anybody listening who thinks that, you know, oh, maybe I should go and get checked. Well, obviously, go and get checked, but don't be fobbed off. Don't be fobbed off by anyone, even if it's some own stupid little inner voice of your own. Do not be fobbed off. And I phoned up for a prostate test a little while ago from the GP. I was going for a blood test anyway. And I said, well, when they do the blood test, can they do the PSA test as well for prostate cancer? And the woman said, no. I said, oh, well, why not? Oh, well, it's just not suitable. I said, hang on a minute. I said, I'm a man. I'm in my 70s. My father had prostate cancer. I am bang in the target area, according to every single advert I've seen about people who should go and get tested.
Mm.
Oh, all right then. So I did have the test, and it was okay, it was fine. But I thought, how stupid is that?
Mm.
So what I would say to every fellow listening, don't be fobbed off by anybody. Go and get it done.
Thank you so much for coming on the programme. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, Steve. And as I said right at the start, best of luck with what you're doing, and well done. And as I just repeat my message to them, don't be diverted. Get that PSA test.
The Music Marathon, supporting Prostate Cancer UK. Did you know you're more likely to be at risk of getting prostate cancer if your father or brother has had it? Get checked out now. Speak to your doctor or call the specialist nurses at Prostate Cancer UK to discuss further in confidence. Call 0800 074 8383, text NURSE to 70004, or pop along to their website at prostatecanceruk.org for more info.
Okay, we're going to talk about blood bikes now. And what is blood bikes all about? Well, the Shropshire, Staffordshire and Cheshire Blood Bikes charity does a lot of things here in this region, in particular in the Cheshire region. And on the line now, I've got the Cheshire lead, Steve Hunter. Hi, Steve, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And this is kind of getting late for me, but you guys have get involved in working round the clock, don't you?
We do indeed, yeah. We're 24/7, 365.
And this is a charity, all run by volunteers, and you've got people from all walks of life in the charity.
We have, yeah. We are, as you say, we're a charity, Steve, and what we do is we provide a free transport service of medicines, equipment, human breast milk, right throughout the three counties. And we don't charge the hospitals a penny. And we're all volunteers. Nobody gets paid. And like you say, we're all walks of life. I'm lucky enough to be retired, but it takes up probably more time than I was actually putting in at work. We have people aged sort of, the youngest rider is 26, and our oldest rider at the moment is 75.
Wow. Wow, it's great, isn't it? It's fantastic. And like you say, serving all the hospitals in Cheshire, of course. And Cheshire's a big county, isn't it? It's a huge county. It is, yeah.
Our total area with Shropshire, Staffordshire and Cheshire is over 6,000 square miles. And in Cheshire, our main means of support is for the, obviously for the Countess, as being a major trauma centre. And we're in and out there, you know, several times a day. We also support the Hospice of the Good Shepherd. We do all their runs for samples and blood and anything else that they need. We do antenatal supplies, samples for Leighton and Macclesfield hospitals, and we run them down to Royal Stoke, where they're picked up by one of our Shropshire riders and taken to Birmingham Women's Hospital. Yeah, we're all over. We're even as far in single runs as across to Sheffield, and that's running out from the Countess. We do things called relay runs.
Yeah.
Blood bikes are generally county boundaried.
Yeah.
We're three counties. So just recently we helped to relay a piece of equipment that was at the Royal Ayrshire Hospital, the Royal Argyll Hospital in Scotland, and that had to go down to London to King's, and it would have obviously cost a fortune to fly it. Couriers, really, you know, they have hours that they have to work, you know, that are controlled quite strictly. So we had a relay, so all the blood bag groups between Scotland and London joined together. And we had it down there in just over 7 hours.
Wow, that's amazing. Fantastic. And like you said, saving the NHS an absolute fortune in courier fees. Do you know how much it was saved last year?
Well, I get asked this quite a lot. I do a lot of talks to people. We're asked, do the blood bank groups throughout the country have an impact on the debt that the NHS has? And the simple answer is, no, we don't even scratch the surface. But where blood bikes matter, where blood bikes make a difference, is locally. So you can imagine that a courier would be charging the likes of hospitals £200, maybe £300 to go to Liverpool to the blood bank and bring blood and platelets back to the Countess, or Manchester blood bank to Macclesfield. And when you think that we sort of do several runs a day here, you know, we're saving quite a substantial amount locally to the individual hospitals. And that's really where we make a difference.
You've got bikes which, obviously, they're marked bikes, aren't they?
They are.
Labelled. And these bikes are bought by individuals and charities and fundraising?
Yeah, we don't get a penny from the government. We're in pretty much, pardon the pun, the same boat as the RNLI and also the air ambulance, where people think that, you know, we are supported by the government, and we're entirely supported by public donations. Indeed, yesterday and Friday, my team, we were out at Morrison's in Ellesmere Port, and we were fundraising, and the good people of Ellesmere Port donated a total of nearly £1,800. So that, without those people, we have no income. And when you think a typical bike is £15,000-16,000, and we will wear out in the course of a rolling 12 months about four bikes. So it's an awful lot of money that we need.
It seems to me that Ebbie does support the organisation very well, doesn't it? I know you give fundraising events, but it's amazing how generous people are, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I can't, you know, I've got to take this opportunity, if you will allow me, to thank Chester Golf Club. Over the last year, they adopted us as their charity, and they've raised a staggering £19,600, and have bought us a new bike, and that will be going live within the next month. But they've asked if the bike can be called Curzon.
Okay, yeah. And, after the golf course?
The golf club is at Curzon Park.
Yeah.
People are so generous. We do an awful lot of talks to the WI, to Probus clubs. When you sort of put it all together, over the course of the last 7 years, we've had either directly or indirectly as a result of talks, over £40,000 from the three county WIs. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's fantastic. Listen, Steve, thank you so much for coming on the programme and telling us all about Blood Bikes, and those who didn't know about it now. And there's a website, isn't there, which people can go to find out about the charity. And for those people possibly thinking about wanting to volunteer, if obviously you've been a controller or possibly been a rider, where do they go to?
Yeah, they just go to Shropshire Staffordshire Cheshire Blood Bikes. Or in fact, they can actually just type in Shropshire Blood Bikes. Mm-hmm. And it will bring the website up, and there, as you say, you know, we're always looking for riders. Riders must be over 25 and have an advanced qualification.
Mm-hmm.
Controllers, well, I mean, pardon the pun there, the lifeblood of the charity. Without the controllers sitting and taking the calls from hospitals and then dispatching the riders, then, you know, we wouldn't be able to go out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're always looking if, you know, people have got any time to spare. Yeah, fantastic.
Thanks for coming on the programme, Steve. All the best, mate. Cheers.
Thank you, and good luck on your quest.
Thank you, yes, yes, the coffee's standing by.
Good man.
And the teas. Get me going. Thanks so much.
Supporting Prostate Cancer UK, this is the Music Marathon with Steve Lord.
That's a band called Nothing But Thieves, and also the Bucharest Symphony Orchestra as well. That's called Real Love Song. And that's especially there for Ian and Lorraine Kettle. And they're first on because they were first on to give us some money to Prostate Cancer UK from Southport. That's the Kensington Lurf from Paloma Faith. That's called Sweatpants, which I'm going to play for Julie and Steve and Socks the Dogs, who are listening to us in Burton. Hello to you guys. Hello to Sandy Utley. Hi, Sandy. Hello, how are you doing? Great work, Steve. Well done. Good to hear from you, Sandy. And great work you do as well at Berrington High School. Hello to Steve G as well. Well done. Thank you for that. Yes, we've got less than 6 hours to go now through the Music Marathon. And in this hour, how do you fancy winning a £25 Sainsbury's voucher? Howard Jones and a new song here on the Music Marathon. Great song there from the 1980s. Hey, you know what? It's almost 3 o'clock. Hey, it's 3 minutes past four in the morning and we are still going. Yes, we are. We've had 10 hours down and we've got two to go on the Music Marathon, and I'm still wide awake, actually. Yeah, I'm feeling fine. Yeah. Thank you for so much people who are taking part. It's amazing the amount of people who are up and about this time of the day. So keep those requests coming in, won't you?
Supporting Prostate Cancer UK, this is the Music Marathon with Steve Lord.
Over the 12 hours, we played lots of your requests from the 1960s right through to the present day, and I really enjoyed playing those for you. And you were very generous as well. Over £680 was raised via our special Just Giving page as well. And that's still available if you want to give to Prostate Cancer UK directly at justgiving.com, and just search for Steve Lord 12 hour and it will take you straight there to the Just Giving page. Over the 12 hours, we gave away gift cards to spend at Argos and Sainsbury's, a voucher for two people to attend a Friday night comedy night at Alexander's Live in Chester of your choosing, vouchers for Holland & Barrett, and we announced a draw to win chocolate brownies in time for Easter, courtesy of Northwest cake maker Can Do Cupcakes. I hope you enjoyed a look back at our 12-hour Music Marathon here on this podcast supporting Prostate Cancer UK. And thank you once again for all your requests, especially those in the middle of the night, along with donations as well. You kept me awake and alert until I handed over to the breakfast show at 6. Remember to look after your prostate, guys. For more information and the Prostate Cancer Risk Checker, go along to their website at prostatecanceruk.org. For myself, Steve Lord, take care. Bye-bye.